turn to the book of Hebrews, if you would. I really hope the message today will be of I do every week, but I just think in the world that we live, there's not a lot of rest. And it just seems like it's one thing after another. I thought when I was putting the bulletin together that, we don't have as many announcements. We're kind of going to relax. And then I ended up with twice as many announcements. There's always something going on. There's something to be done. And that's just the busy side of not having rest. And then you have the things that are in your life that, you know, are maybe weighing down on you, the burdens and things like that that we all carry. And those things don't give you rest. And so the title of this is Jesus Provides a Better Rest. And we're going verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. And last week, we ended chapter 3, so this week we're in chapter 4, 1 through 11. But the very end of chapter 3, the last verse, it says, "So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief." And in fact, verse 18, it says, "Who did he swear that they would not enter his rest?" And so we see that they were unable to enter his rest because of unbelief. And so we left it at that. You know, we saw a picture of God's rest, which was the promised land. You have the children of Israel were set free from Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, and they had an opportunity to cross the Jordan and enter into rest, what God had for them. But because of their unbelief, the spies came back and said, "Oh yeah, it's a great land, but there's giants and there's walled cities." And they persuaded the people that even with God on their side, they could not win. And then God was angry with them and he said, "You will not enter my rest because of your unbelief." And so there is rest available for the Christian today. And I think so many times we don't experience it because we kind of look for it perhaps in the wrong place, or perhaps our definition of rest is a little different than God's definition. I find that to be true. I find when I study the Bible, I'll have a definition of something and then I find out God's definition is a little different than mine. And I have to align myself to his definition. And so we're going to look at this today. We get three aspects of rest in this passage. And then at the end, as always, there's a choice that you make. And we make this choice every day, whether to have rest or not have rest, or to be in rest, you might say. And so, what is God's rest? What does it look like? Does my view of it line up with God's? Is it actually attainable? That's what we're going to answer today. And so we're going to look at the passage. It's verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read it and then we'll go through it. So he says, they weren't unable to enter because of unbelief. And then we pick up in chapter 4, therefore, because of that, okay, because of their unbelief. While the promise to enter his rest remains, let us fear that none of you should miss it. You see, the children of Israel, they missed the rest. They had to wander in the wilderness. And you know what? We can wander in the wilderness too, as well. For we also have received the good news just as they did. But the message they heard did not benefit them. Has God's message benefited you? I hope so. Since they were not united with those who heard it in faith, for we who have believed enter the rest. in keeping with what he has said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the foundation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Again in that passage, he says, they will never enter my rest. Since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, again, he specifies a certain day, today, speaking through David after such a long time as previously stated. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have not spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. So that's the passage, and it sounds like it's kind of convoluted. It sounds like it's all over the place. But we're going to make sense of it here today. And I pray that you will glean something from this, that you will get something from this, that you will be able to have rest in the midst of your life. You know, because a lot of times we think about the rest, we're thinking about heaven. But, you know, it's not just for then, it's for now as well. And so let's look and see what the Bible has to say. In verse 1, we see the reality. And the reality is failure. In verse 1, he says, therefore, while the promise to enter his rest remains, the promise is there. You can have rest. You can be in his rest. But he says, let us fear that none of you should miss it. There's a possibility that you can miss God's rest. There's a possibility that you can live your whole life as a saved, believing Christian and not have rest. Just be in turmoil, be worried, be in all these different states and not have rest. And that's not what God intended. And so we see failure. Some come short of God's rest. And in this wilderness that, you know, because he's speaking of Moses when he says, I swore in my anger they would not enter. He's talking about Moses and the people of Israel that were out in the wilderness. And you know, our wilderness today is not some desert on the east side of the Jordan. The wilderness today for the Christian is the world. That's the wilderness. And if you're wrapped up in the world, you've got a problem. You're not going to have rest. And there is something better than the world, but you know what? Many die in the wilderness. The wilderness experience should have prepared us for the promised land. Every one of us has been in the wilderness. We know what it's like. And we want to be in the promised land. And you know, the wilderness experience makes you stronger. When you go into the world, you meet resistance. Resistance to your theology, resistance to the Word of God, resistance to your belief system. You're going to meet resistance. And you know what? That resistance makes you stronger. Resistance is what makes you strong. When you lift weights, you get resistance. It makes you stronger. And we were not called to be out of the world. We were called to be not of the world. And there's a difference. We are actually called to be in the world, to be light and salt. And that experience will make you stronger if you stand in God's word, stand on his word, stand in his ways. We're supposed to grow and become mature enough to enter his rest. Because really only the mature find the rest. And I'll show you that in a little bit. You know, there was a little girl that parents put her to bed and she got into bed. And in the middle of the night, she fell out of bed. And of course, you know, if you've had children, you've probably experienced a child falling out of bed. It scares them. They usually don't get hurt too much, or you know, they might get a bruise or something, but mostly they're just scared because they fell and they woke up, and maybe if they're young, you know, they don't even know where they are because you know they're on the floor and they ran in there. And they, you know, the parents, you know, they kind of calmed her down. They said, "What happened?" You know, and she said, "I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." But I want you to think about it. Christians can stay too close to the world after they got in to God's kingdom. And you might not have rest because of it. You know, that little girl had her rest interrupted, didn't she? Because she was too close to... You know, why is it that as Christians, you know, there's that line, and we try to stay right on the line. You know, I want to be on this side of the line, the Christian side of the line, but boy, you know, but I'll test. You know, and sometimes we even get our foot over there a little bit, you know. When God wants us to be like way over here, you know. I don't know about you, but I've been in Peru. And I've been up at 15,000 feet on these roads that it's like for thousands of feet down. And sometimes we come to another car. And I don't know how these cars stay on the road. You know, you got one guy leaning out the window going, "You got another inch," because they have to get over, you know. And if you're on the car that's on the edge, you know, you're like, and all you see is sky. Now, it's exciting, but it's scary. And it's not, and believe me, there's no rest going on in the car. The other car's fine. They're up against the mountain. You know, they're not going anywhere. But why do we get so close to the edge? Why do we try to play with fire? And that's really what we do. It's kind of our nature. The sin nature, the old man, you know, it rears up. And let's not be so close, shall we? Don't get too close to the world. We're in the world, we're not of it. Play it safe, folks. There's safety in Christ. There's safety in following His Word. When you stay too close to the world, you don't grow and you fail to enter God's rest. That's the bottom line. Secondly, there's a reason. So we saw that there's reality. The reality is a lot of Christians pay a price. But there's a reason. Verse 2, it says, "For we also have received the good news just as they did." Okay? Same news, promised land. "But the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith." They had heard the truth from Joshua and Caleb, the children of Israel. Joshua and Caleb went in with the other 10 spies. They came back. The 10 spies says, "Forget it. We can't do it." Joshua and Caleb pleaded with them. Pleaded with them. "We can do this. God is on our side. Believe God. With God's power, we can take the land." But because of unbelief, they were afraid, and the truth did them no good. The truth did them no good. What are you struggling with in your life? And you know the answer, but fear keeps you from it. Unbelief. "Well, I know what God's Word says. I should do it. I should change. I should do something else. I need to start doing something I'm not doing. I need to forgive. I need to humble myself. You know, whatever it might be." And yet, we know the answer. We know what the Word of God... You know, we're not dying for lack of information, folks. We're not weary from lack of information. The average Christian has heard thousands of messages, has heard truth. It's the doing that we have the problem with. And that's why we don't have rest. That's the reason. Unbelief. Because you do what you believe. If you really believe what God's telling you to do through His Word, through His Spirit, then you do it. But we hold back. We hold back. So what is it that you're struggling with that you know the answer, yet you hold back? Keeps you from rest. You just keep wrestling with it. Keep wrestling with it. But we do see the remedy, and the remedy is faith. The reality, there's failure. The reason, there's unbelief. But the remedy, and there is a remedy, it's faith. In verse 3, for we who have believed enter the rest. Present tense. Not, this is not talking about dying and going to heaven. This is present tense. For we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what he has said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter the rest. And yet his works have been finished since the foundation of the world. And so we see the remedy. Faith is the answer to fear and failure. We've seen fear and we've seen failure. In verse 1, we see failure. Those that came short, they failed to enter the rest. We see fear in the second verse. They didn't have faith. They had unbelief. They were afraid. And yet faith is the answer to fear and failure. For we who have believed enter the rest. Faith is the God-ordained way to enter into that rest which God has provided for us. It's only through faith. It's only through belief. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Faith is your strength. That's where strength comes from. You're placing your faith in the one who has strength. And if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Because it reveals where we're at. It reveals where we're placing our faith. And you know, I don't know about you, but much of the time, a lot of the time, some of the time, whatever, I put my faith in myself. And you have to. Put our faith in ourselves instead of in what God. I put my faith in my perspective instead of God's. I work it out my way instead of God's way. The remedy is faith. And now we're going to see three pictures of rest. Three pictures of rest. Verses 4 and 5, we see the rest of creation. I rest in quotation marks, okay, because it's not like oh, the rest. You know, it's talking about an object, the rest that was available at creation. And it says, for somewhere, he has spoken about the seventh day in this way. The seventh day was a Sabbath, the day of rest. Today it would be known as Saturday, okay? The day of rest. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, in that passage, he says, they will never enter my rest. Because you see, God originally rested, didn't he? He created the world and all that was in it in 6 days. And he created man and woman on the sixth day. And he placed them on it and said, there it is, it's for you. And it says, and God rested. And that was our example. And you know what? Adam and Eve had it made. Trees that provided food, streams that provided water, perfect temperature. They didn't need any clothes. You know, there was no sin. There was no pride. There was no competition between them. It was just love and perfect fellowship with the Creator. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. But then what? Sin entered the world. And you know what? God hasn't rested since, has he? And neither have we. Because he's busy about us ever since, right? That was the rest of creation. That was God's original plan. But in verses 6 through 8, we see the rest of Canaan. The rest of Canaan. And so since it remains for some to enter it, those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience. And again, he specifies a certain day, today, speaking through David's, after such a long time as previously stated, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts Are you hearing the voice of God right now? Don't harden your heart. Don't continue in anguish and turmoil. There is rest available. Because he says in verse 8, you know what he's talking about. He says, Joshua, what's Joshua about? It's about going into Canaan. That's what it was about. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. You see, the rest was offered first through Moses. Moses was supposed to bring them to the promised land. Moses sinned, and God said, nope, you're not going in. And the generation that Moses led all died in the wilderness, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, the two that believed. And then Joshua took the children of Israel across the Jordan into the land of milk and honey. But even Joshua didn't do it. As good as he was, but he had three major failures. First one is, he failed to go as far as God wanted him to. They were supposed to go into that land and go all the way to the coast. They were supposed to take out everybody that was there, and that was going to be their land. They did not go to the coast. That's why all the way to today we have the Philistines. Because they were coast people. The Phoenicians were coast people. All those people were not taken out. They did not go as far as God wanted them to. Let me ask you something. In your Christian life, in your spiritual walk, are you going as far as God wants you to? That's a question that only you can answer. Are you going as far as God would like you to? Because that's where the rest is, folks. It's being in obedience to God, not just halfway. Because guess what? A lot of you know the story, maybe some of you don't, but Joshua failed to go as far as God wanted him to. And all those peoples gave Israel a hard time forever, and they're still giving them a hard time today. And you know what? A lot of times we have a hard time going on in our life because we don't go as far as God would like us to. Second problem that he had, he made a covenant with the Gibeonites. They got fooled. The Gibeonites were a people, and they were seeing it, because at first Joshua was doing a good job. He took out Jericho. Then they had a little problem at Ai, but they got right with God, and then they took out Ai. And then they were taking out some other places, and the Gibeonites were nearby, and they're going, wow. These you know, they're God. They're cleaning house. You know, we got to do something to preserve ourselves, or they're going to get us. So they put on a bunch of rags and old-looking clothes, and they let some bread get real moldy. And they went to Joshua, and they said, "We are from a far country, but we see you have, you know, your God is real, and we want to make a pact with you, an agreement, a treaty, if you will." And Joshua did not go to the Lord, and so he was fooled into believing they were from a far country. And then as they continued their conquest, they came upon these same people. But because they had vowed with them that they would not take them out, they could not. They had made Joshua, in today's language, he made a deal with the world. That was kind of what he did. He made a covenant with the world. And you know what? A lot of times we do the same thing. We kind of bargain with the world. The world says, go ahead, you know, do this, do that. You know, you're still a Christian. You can do this or do that. You can come here, you know. I don't know, I might step on some toes. You can go to Vegas and gamble. That's cool. Or you can go see whatever, those movies. You're not doing it. It's cool. You know, that's what Satan says. That's not what God says. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then we wonder why we don't have rest. Because we compromise with the world. And that's what Joshua really did. And you know what? Those people were a pain to Joshua. later on, that very same people got attacked, and Joshua, because of his covenant, had to go rescue them and lost men. People died. You never gain by making a covenant with the world. It's going to cost you something. The third thing, he failed to finish. He failed to finish. Are you, Paul said what? When he was getting ready to die, he said, "I have finished the race." You know, God's not asking you to win because he's already done that. Okay? The race is over as far as Satan is concerned. Satan is defeated. Sin has been defeated by the cross. Christ already crossed the finish line. He already said it is finished. But we're still in the race. We're not here to win. We are here to finish. We're here to complete that which God has set before us. And that's where you're going to find rest. But Joshua, you know, he failed. As a result, there was no rest for Israel. And it's the same problems we can have. Same problems. We cannot go as far as God wants us to. We'll make covenants and compromises with the world. And we'll fail to finish. Christians do that all the time. Unfortunately. So that's the rest of Canaan. But there's a better. You know, this whole book of Hebrews is wrapped up in the phrase, Jesus is better. So in verse 9 and 10, we have the rest of Christ. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people, for the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God rested from his. Jesus' work on the cross was complete. It is finished. He sits at the right hand of God. Remember, I talked about, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus seated at the right hand of God. And it's a picture of rest. You know, just like I was talking about, you know, if you go out and you're doing some job, you know, maybe you're building something in the backyard or whatever, or you're mowing the yard, or you're trimming trees or whatever, and it's a hot day in the summer, and man, you're out there cooking and you're doing it, and you get done, you come in, and you go run 50 laps on the treadmill, right? No, you go and you sit down. And you go, "I'm done. Woman, bring me a drink." No. Of lemonade. But you sit. And when Jesus got done, it is finished, he is seated at the right hand of the God, right hand of the throne. He's done. He rests. That's the rest of Christ. His work is complete. Our rest is not about a day. It's about a person. That verses I had Dave read. Ye of, you know, you're labored. My yoke is light. My burden is light. Enter into my rest, the rest of Christ. Because you see, there's two things that every person has. There's two things every person has. A standing and a state. A standing and a state. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've gone to God, admitted to him you were a sinner, asked him to forgive you, trusted in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, asked him to forgive you, and he saved you, you have a standing. You are a child of God. You are adopted into the family of God. And that is your standing. And that cannot be taken from you. You're adopted in. Your standing is, I'm a child of God. I'm a member of his family. And we all have that standing. If you have done that, that is your standing. If you have never done that, then you are not a child of God. And you're going to face His wrath one day. But that's your standing. And we all have one. Our standing is either we are a child of God or we're not. And if you're a child of God, you get the blessings, you know, that goes with it. The joint heir, we're all joint heirs. That means we get whatever God has. But if you're not a child, you don't get what God has. You get what God has for you. That means you got to pay the price yourself for your sin. When you are a child of God, you are trusting in the fact that Jesus paid the price for you. And you never have to pay that price yourself. Best deal ever. But that's our standing. But there's also a state. A state. And you know what? Unfortunately, many times our state doesn't match our standing. And what state is that? Well, are you in a state of rest? Or are you in a state of turmoil? For the Christian, that's your choices. If you're a child of God, you can enter into the rest. Comes through faith. We just talked about it. If you're not in that state, then you are in a state of turmoil. That's where, even though you're His child, you're kind of going against some things. You're not, you know, you know the word perhaps, you know something in here where the Holy Spirit's just been beating you up and you just won't change. And you're not experiencing rest. You're experiencing turmoil. But then there's the unbeliever. They have a state also, and that's a state of condemnation. Because the Bible says you are condemned already. It's not a matter of, hey, when I get to heaven, I kind of hope that my works, my good works outweigh my bad. The Bible says, no, there is none good, no, not one. I don't care how many good things, quote unquote, good things you have done. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You can't bargain your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. So you are already condemned. So many people think, oh, when I die, I'll find out. No! No, the Bible says you are already condemned. And you need a pardon. You need a reprieve. You need someone to pay the price for you. And that's Jesus Christ. That's what He came to do. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what this whole thing is about. And there is rest associated with being in Christ. And it's the best rest ever. I hope your state matches your standing. If you're a child of God and that's your standing, then I hope your state matches that, which is rest. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't things going on in your life, because every one of us knows that, you know, this life is not one of peace. In fact, Jesus said what? He said, you think I came to bring peace? I did not come to bring peace. I brought a sword. Because the moment you trust in Him, you just put yourself at odds with the world, and there is a battle taking place. The good news is we know the outcome of the battle. And we can rest in that. Now here's where... That was my introduction. Now we're coming to the real part of the message. How's that grab you? Let me get out these other papers. No. Here's where it's at, verse 11. Okay? Verse 11 is where it's at. As soon as I find it, I'll let you know. Okay. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. We must deliberately appropriate that which the Lord has provided for us. We choose. Whoops. I must be later. Oh, I just put the... Come to me. I forgot I put the verse in there. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. All of you take up my yoke. But see, the key there, you got to come to Him. You got to make an effort. Now, we're not talking about salvation. You will find rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. There it is. To have rest is our choice. If you are miserable, it's because you choose to be. You choose to be. Just own it. Own it. We must deliberately appropriate what the Lord has secured. Let me tell you a story. There's a missionary. And he's going down the road. And he's got, you know, he's in a little, one of those little pickup truck things. He's got his partner with him. And they're going down the road. And they come upon one of the guys that lives there, you know, one of the people there. And he's got, and I saw this in Peru so many times. These women that were, because the men would all be at work in the fields, and the women would like gather firewood and stuff. And I remember we saw this one woman. I mean, we're talking at 13,000 feet, you know? And she's got, you know, Peruvians are very short. They're very short people. And on top of that, she's bent over. So she looks like she's about this high. And there's a stack of wood on her back. I mean, I don't know how she got it on there. And she is, and we're at 13,000 feet, and she is going up. We're on this road up here, and we see her. And she's coming up this thing. And I'm like, good grief. You know, I mean, it killed me just without the load, you know, just walking up this thing. And just a huge load. And so they come upon this man with a load like that. I mean, he's just, you know, loaded. Huge load, weight on his back. And they kind of pull up there, you know, and they got like some stuff in the truck, but there's some room for him, you know, in the back. And so they said, hey, would you like a ride? You know, would you, you know, we'll take you as far as we're going, you know. So the guy climbs in and they take off. So they drive for a few minutes, and the guy, he looks in the mirror and he sees the guy standing in the back holding on to the thing, but he's still got the thing on him. Still got the thing on him. The big load is on him. And they pulled over and he goes, what are you doing? You know, take it off. And you know what his reply was? I didn't know if the truck could carry both me and the load. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but do we not do that? Do we not do that same exact thing? We are standing on Jesus Christ, the ultimate power in the universe, and we carry it. We're standing on Him with our load. Do we not do that? And He's going, what? He's looking in the mirror, so to speak, going, what are you doing? Well, I don't really know if you can carry me and the load, Jesus, so I'm going to help you. Really? You're going to help God? Really? Do we not do the exact same thing? And we figuratively, you know, we'll have an altar call, and people will have burdens, and they come down here and we say, lay your burden at the altar, and they do, and then when they get up, they pick it up, and they take it right back in the seat with them. Do we not do that? Quit doing it. Quit doing it. He's big enough. Believe me. And then you know what the funny thing is? The truck was carrying that guy and the load all the time. And you know what? Even though we're carrying the load, Jesus is carrying us all the time. Didn't He?
We stand on Christ, and we still carry the load, a load He did not intend us to carry. How many of you out there right now are carrying things God does not intend you to carry? Amen. You know, will you trust Him? I mean, really trust Him with it? Now, that doesn't mean we don't tend to it. I mean, we have responsibilities and we have things in our life. But are you carrying the burden, or are you going to do what's right? Do what's right in your situation according to the Word of God and trust Him for the result. trust Him for the result, does He not have your best interest at heart? And if you don't think He does, woe unto you, for you're missing the whole thing. There was a... There's two points of view of rest. I think we get it mixed up a little bit. They asked two artists to paint a picture about rest. What is rest? One of them draws a ocean, flat, you know, no waves, just a, you know, if you go to Miami when there's no hurricane around, that's the way Miami Beach, there's no waves in Miami Beach, by the way, it's flat. It's flat. And it's calm. Except when hurricanes come. But he painted this ocean and a blue sky with some puffy white clouds. And the sky was blue, and on the shore there's children playing in the shallow water like children will do, making castles in the sand, and mom and dad are just kind of kicked back, and it's all peaceful and still. And I think a lot of times when we talk about the peace, and we talk about the peace that passes all understanding, and we talk about peace, you know, enter into His rest. You know, we kind of get that picture, like my life ought to be this scene that this artist painted. And we kind of think that's what God means. The second artist, he depicted a rocky shore with cliffs and danger and a dark sky with storms, and the sea was raging. The waves were surging and tossing, and up in the cleft of a rock, on the cliff, in the little cleft, a bird sat, protected by everything, and just looking out over it with an untroubled eye. Safe and secure, serenely surveying the storm. That's peace, folks. That's true peace. Because God has not promised us smooth sailing, has He? The seas are not smooth in this world. The ocean doesn't stay flat in this world. We have moments. We have times. The skies aren't always blue, and the clouds aren't always puffy and white. To enter God's rest does not mean that there are no storms. It means that you are safe. It means you are secure. It means you can have serenity, that you can be untroubled in the midst of the turmoil. In the midst of it. The better rest does not come from without. It comes from within. It comes from Jesus. Verse 11 says, let us make every effort to enter that rest. You line your life up with God. You follow His word the best you can. And you trust Him for the result. Because it says, we can miss it. We can miss it. We have
It requires effort. And you're not earning salvation. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about having peace within in the midst of a lost and dying, sinful world. Yes, when we get to heaven, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and your time on this earth is done and you go to the next, that's where the flat ocean is. That's where it's all peace. That's where there's no more sin. But for now, we got to hide ourselves in Him like the little bird. You get in that cleft of the rock. You know the song, "Hides My Soul in the Cleft of the Rock," right? And that's the picture, folks. It's the picture of serenity in the midst of the storm because of faith. You appropriate it with faith. You believe that God has a plan, and yeah, you don't like the storm you're in, but He is doing something in your life. He has your best interest at heart. He's working a plan. And if you are bucking God, you are going to have turmoil all your life. And now's the time for you to make a choice. There may be someone here today that, you know what? You don't know what you're standing. Or maybe you do know what your standing with God is, and that standing is you've rejected Him all these years. You've heard people talk about Christ and salvation, and you've said, no, I don't really believe that. Well, let me ask you something. How's your life going? Oh, you may have success in some areas, but deep down in your heart, do you have peace? Do you have a secure knowledge that when this time on earth is done, you're going to be in a good place? You're going to be with the Lord? What's your standing like? Then there's those of us that, we've accepted Christ as our Savior, but we're kind of like that guy on the mission field that standing in the truck but still carrying the load. You're going somewhere. You know, you're on a path, you're on a road, and you're actually going somewhere. But you're making it a lot harder on yourself than it has to be. Because that guy could have just dropped it right there. And him and his load would have still got there. Wherever he was going. He could have dropped it right there. How many of us do that? What's your state? Are you carrying the burden? Or are you laying it on the Savior? And you deal with the burden, and you do. You do have to. But your trust is not in what you can do. Your trust is in what He is doing. That's where the faith is. Because the results are not always obvious. Our problem is we think we know what the result should be, and then we work towards that end. And sometimes God says, no, you just got to trust me for the result. Just let me have it. And trust me. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never admitted to Him that I was wrong, that I've been wrong about everything. And I'm a sinner, and I deserve punishment, and I need to ask Him to forgive me. Anybody like that? I've never asked God to forgive me. I need to do that. Anybody like that? Well, as far as I know, everyone here has made that choice. And I praise God if that's true. I praise God. For the rest of us, let me ask you a question. So you're telling me that your standing is secure. You're standing with the Lord. But let me ask you something. How's your state? How many of you here would say, "Brother Mike, I'm carrying stuff and God's laid it on my heart. I shouldn't be carrying it. I need to let him have it." Anybody like that? Everybody, amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, "You know, I'm kind of helping God. I've come to the realization that I'm carrying this burden because I'm trying to help him out. I'm trying to direct him in some way. And maybe I just need to trust his direction instead of mine." Anybody like that? I've been kind of going my direction instead of God's. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you on behalf of these. And Lord, I believe we're all carrying something we probably shouldn't, myself included. Things weigh us down, Lord, that you don't intend to weigh us down. Father God, give us wisdom. Give us eyes to see what you intend in each one of our lives, that we would not carry a burden that you do not want us to carry. Father God, help us to trust you greater, in a greater way. Help us, Lord, to believe what you've told us in your word and to act upon it, and to, as the writer said, let us make every effort to enter your rest. That's where peace is. It's in you. And it's in you being in charge of our lives and not we ourselves. Father, give us that light that we need, that we would be like that bird in the midst of a terrible hurricane, Lord, but safe and untroubled because of its trust in you. May we be like that bird. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. This is your time, as Kathy plays. If you need to make a decision, you make it. If you want to come up here and want to pray with me, I'll pray with you. If you want to deal with God right where you're at, you do so. If whatever God has laid on your heart, this is your first step of faith into His rest. You deal with God right now. Before you, and thank you for your word. Lord, may we take your word seriously. May we trust in what you have already done. Why do we keep working so hard, Lord, when you've already done it? Help us, Lord, to lay our burdens on you and trust in you that in the midst of the storm, even though we know we have to deal with things, Lord, we're not worried about it. We're not troubled by it, Lord. We just simply have faith in you. Help us to go there, Lord. Lead us and guide us into your peace in this troubled land. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.